The first thing I want to ask is, why do you want to read faster, or why are you here? Are there 3 or 4 or 5 of you that could share in a sentence or so what your answer
To save time.
Okay.
Read more.
Uh-huh.
Learn more.
Uh-huh.
I have to read a lot of business publications.
Uh-huh.
In a short period of time.
Okay.
I've been reading term papers, so I've been in bad habits looking for all kinds of details.
Ah.
And it's your pleasure.
Okay. Why? I want to answer the question too, or as much how. The advertisement that I read 300 to 500 words doesn't even really capture the joy of sort of where I'm at in my life and where I'm going. I actually read read substantial parts of and get what I think is the gist of more like 1,200 or 1,500 books a year, not just 300 to 500. And I'll read cover to cover probably in the neighborhood of 200 of those in a year. A lot of them are the novel that I finish in a week or 2 weeks in the evening, and devotional kinds of books that I'll sort of get through and so forth. A lot of what I want to do today is to both dispel a lot of myths about reading, most of which will, I think, inspire, encourage, and support your quest. This will be an abbreviated session. It works best, really, if it's 5 or 6 weeks. And in fact, one of your 3 assignments will be to find another partner to touch base with at least twice a week for the next 6 weeks, if you want to learn this. The skills involved in reading faster are no more difficult than something like learning to ride a bicycle, which is probably more difficult because we did it earlier in our life or something. But it's just like riding a bicycle. You're going to fall a few times. You're going to feel it's ridiculous. Nobody could ever possibly balance on this wobbly instrument. But if you persist and persevere, in fact, even maybe think of that image of a bicycle, it can actually happen. There are 3 or 4 principles, which I'll try to write up as we go. The very first and most important one is that reading is for life, not for either that second grade teacher that gave you such a hard time, or that father or mother or grandfather figure in your mind that sits there criticizing you. Imagine if you're like me when you're writing and you feel all constricted inside, and it really comes from somebody that gave you a hard time. Much of learning to read faster is sort of, it is just the patient process of letting go of those demons and freeing yourself. There's much less discipline or tenseness in reading faster than you might think. There's a little bit of discipline. There's places where you want to direct yourself, but do it gently as a friend, not as another demon. What speed reading isn't. I'll never forget the speed reader that could claim he or she could read 20,000 words a minute, and as a test read Animal Farm, and afterwards in the quiz was able to share that it was about animals, but had missed the entire kind of second level of meaning about it. Reading for me is reading every word. Everything else is skimming or something else. It's kind of common sense. If you read a paragraph and you miss a single important word, a not, for example, you will totally misunderstand it. And if you're reading for content, if you care about what you're reading, you have to be reading at a pace where you're really absorbing every single word. Launching, that's supposed to have been the first 5 minutes, so I think we're more or less on track here. So reading, what I mean by reading is for life is to capture the passion and attention that goes into anything worth doing. Those are the watchwords. Be careful as your reading speed increases over the next weeks that you don't direct most of it to all the things you feel you ought to read. every single time you sit down to read, I encourage you to at least listen to your passion. If you're looking at four or five books on your shelf, don't hesitate to take the one that really entices you. And I make myself read lots of stuff, but I try to make it fun too. I try to find the passion in everything. And it's a lot easier than to direct the attention or what other people call discipline to that that task. Why do we read slow? It'd be fun to bat it around, but having worked really as an English teacher in my first life and then with lots of my own issues, most of the reasons why we read slow can be boiled down to the sort of three dimensions of reading or most any other process in the physical, the mental, and the emotional. And many of the issues that stand in our way go back to the process of learning to read, which is in our culture much less naturally done than many of the other things we learn to. And to start out on the right foot and not just blame that second grade teacher that was such a pain in the neck, I mean, that person was given the impossible or difficult, anyway, task of teaching reading to 24 or 30 young people, and to be on top of the needs of that many people, ask any parent, at one time for an hour or two, is really not very fair. And so if it's helpful to get angry at that person or an imaginary, a compilation of all of those people that gave you a hard time reading, go ahead and do it. Grab a pillow and shake it, or pound your fists on your bed or whatever else, because there is enough anger for probably the next year's worth of reading sessions to get out and flush out your system and open yourself up to be able to read faster. But it's really not their fault, and it sometimes is easier for us Lutherans with all of our guilt to go ahead and pound the bed if we know that it really isn't their fault directly. It's just they were the vehicles of our distress, and we're just the bed isn't actually them, is sort of one way I think of it. The structure of our difficulties is really, in a sentence or two for each of the three dimensions. Physically, someone made us feel anxious about reading to the point where we still, years later, plop on every single word. And if we think we didn't get it, we go back. And that kind of is the reason why many people never get past the kind of 150 and 200 and 250 and 300 words a minute. And I've kind of illustrated in that physical process also the emotional dimension. And then finally the mental part, where your mind just gets used to it and doesn't expect anymore. And for those of you that think, well, you know, if I read faster, I won't enjoy it as much, I have a great surprise for you. Just like riding a bicycle, once you learn to achieve a certain rate of speed, a wonderful discovery awaited you. That is, the bicycle actually balances better when you're moving along than when you're going as slowly as you started. Your mind would much rather be reading at 600 or 700 or 800 or 900 words a minute than the 200 or 300 that most people read in the United States. And so you're going to be doing it a favor, just like that bicycle. And once you learn to read faster, it is totally up to you. It is for you, not anyone else, to choose if you want to zoom down a long hill and go cruising, or go slowly and be able to look out and savor every sight around you. And so let's dive in. The exercise that I'm going to teach you is included in some form in every speed reading course I've ever heard of, and I've taken a few and I've read books about others. And you can use your hand or a card or a where there are machines like tachistoscopes that can basically push your eyes to absorb more words at a time. That's really the basic technique that most people find is adequate to increasing your rate of speed. And the way you do that is to do an exercise. And so the second principle that I want to put up on the board is that there's a difference between an exercise and the real thing. I don't play tennis, but if I wanted to increase the power of my serve, I might lift a dumbbell, you know, every day and maybe increase the weight gradually. Now, that's not tennis, right? This motion. But it might increase the muscle power available to doing this motion. I just, for those listening to this, shared the motion of a dumbbell moving up and down and shared the motion of hitting a tennis ball as well as I can gather from watching it, mostly. So the exercise we're doing is not reading, but actually it's very useful for reading because if you do, like we will do in a moment, I'll model it already now, putting your hand in the middle of the page and sort of moving it down the page like this. If you do that to a book you want to read, you will, and you do the exercise we'll do, you will invariably absorb more than a little of a sense of what the book's about, the kind of flow, some of the main words that appear in it. And so that it's a great way to start a book, particularly in a subject you know less about or a novel or something, because it sort of allows you to absorb some of what it's all about. And as you get better at it, you'll learn to not go all the way to the end of a novel and spoil the ending for yourself inadvertently, you know. Everybody grab a book. Hope you brought ones you want to learn to read. Hope at least one of them has some passion connected to it. Now, some people like to put the card above the word so it hides things and sort of forces you along. I kind of prefer the gentler path of the hand under that reveals and opens and entices you into things. If you want to take one of the books at the back, you're welcome to. Handle it gently if you would. You're going to be turning pages faster and slower. Let's try this exercise for a couple minutes. So you're going to be turning the pages fairly fast, one page every 10 seconds or so, or 15 seconds. And you're at the first half minute, I want you to read just the word that's right above your finger. And just go move your hand down fast enough so you can just relaxedly grasp the word that's right over your two middle fingers or one finger. So use that to kind of set a pace. And turn the page when you're done with that. So you're just moving your hand down the middle of the page. We're not reading. This is an exercise, okay? And you're just directing your eye to notice the word and let it soak into your head. And try to relax. Reading is for life. Finish the sentence you're on. One or two observations, or comments, or questions.
It doesn't matter if you skip a line totally as you're reading over your fingers, right?
Right.
Or two.
Right. In fact, it's a great way of just noticing your attention. I'll find that I've asked myself to read phrases, and there'll be a block of six or seven lines where I didn't read a damn thing. You know, it'll just sort of go past me, my attention wandered. And that's part of it too, just like in the bicycle. I remember my father sort of botching me on my bottom when I kind of zoned off while he was pushing the bike, one hand on the seat and one on the handlebar. We're doing something here. Stop it. don't hit yourself. Just gently say, oh, you want to come back to bicycle riding yet here? Or other observations? Okay. Let's try it again. Any questions about how to do it or what we're doing? You get a sense of why we're doing it this way? You're trying to retrain your eye, and an easy way to do it is, it's very hard to do this when you're just reading on the lines because the the habit pattern is so strong to make you plop on every single word. What we're trying to do is just grasp more at a time, phrases at a time. And that exercise, if you do this exercise for 5 minutes before you start reading, and maybe once in the middle of every time you read, in fact, make it 6 out of 7 just to be gentle on yourself, for the next 6 weeks, you will double your reading speed by, on average. Some of you will do more, some of you will do less. So, let's try it again.
I'm going to tell you, because I pronounce every word in my mind, so I can't seem to go faster than my mind can pronounce it. Right. So I
Subvocalization is the word they give to that. It, yeah. Lots of us do it. I did it. You're trying to get past that. You're trying to grasp the phrase. And one way to do it is just to ask yourself to look at something too wide to pronounce anymore. As you notice yourself doing it, don't criticize yourself. Just ask yourself to just direct your attention like that.
The other thing I notice is that after a while, I become conscious of my eye movement.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I took a course this years ago, and I remember the idea is to try to keep right. focus kind of and broaden your,
right.
not move your head.
Sure.
Exactly. But I kind of I see my eyes going left, right, yeah. left, right.
That's why you want to have your hand go right down the middle yeah. and try to keep it there, but just go like this. And just keep asking yourself to do it. You'll get it.
But the idea is to take it all in with one view, uh-huh. pretty much.
As wide as you can, yeah. Speed up your hand is one way to do that, so it's harder to go back and forth. Okay, let's try it again. If you're listening to the tape, do it too. Have a book in front of you. Stop the tape, run down to the library if you don't. Bring something back that looks fun. Try speeding up twice as fast as you're doing it now. It's just an exercise. You're not reading. Move your hand twice as fast for a minute. Entice those words into your brain. Half a minute to go. Speed up even faster if you feel like it. Just zone out. Just invite your eyes back to the page. Yeah. Okay, and then give your eyes a moment's rest. Let Copper Creek flow over them for just 5 seconds or 10 seconds. Lift them up to the hills, as Nier says, get their glad tidings. And now go back and just for again for a minute read and see if you can't let your eyes do that kind of flowing along and getting groups of words. And if this is an exercise, don't demand that you read every word. I'm going to be right there with one hand on the seat and one hand on the handlebar and won't fall over for the next minute if you miss a word or two or five or line or two. Just try to cruise along going sideways, just reading as fast as you can. You're not pedaling now, you're just enjoying life. It helps move your hands rapidly under each line, that kind of thing. Half minute to go. Okay, finish the sentence or part you're on. Stretch if you'd like. Trade a back rub with a person next to you for 5 seconds each. Gentle thoughts. I'll share the other two assignments. The first assignment is to find a partner that would like to read that word and just remind you, just do this exercise, or these two parts of the same exercise for 5 minutes before you start reading, maybe once in the middle of your reading session. It's a lot easier to do with someone else. You feel kind of foolish sometimes at the beginning doing it by yourself, even me. And the second thing was the point that I made that it's like riding a bike. It's totally up to you whether you want to savor every word at 30 words a minute. Like one poet said, I don't want to learn how to read faster, I want to learn how to read slower. But you can also speed along at 30 miles an hour down that long hill and enjoy it just as much. And you want to get to the point where for a while you're going to be focusing on the mechanics and you're not going to really be absorbing as much as you will later. It'll be like those early stages of riding the bike where you got it, but you really have to sort of, you better do it in the playground and not out on the street because you're going to not have enough attention to watch for cars and potholes and things. After a while, if you do this for a week or two, you'll get to the point where you can even start looking out like this and feeling very nice about yourself. And also, reading more safely, as it were. And then finally, down the road, I promise you, there'll be a point where you will ride no-handed, where you will ride with the wind. And the practicing will have gotten you to the point where you sort of naturally kind of sway and road go like this. But even then, you'll keep coming back to the basics. There'll be little reminders of what we've talked about today, or you'll, as I do, a couple times a week, you'll go through the exercise again, because the brain doesn't forget easily the difference between walking and riding a bicycle. And then the third activity is another step in liberation. It'll both help you read faster, and it'll also be another step of releasing yourself from the grip of that teacher who to me said, and to most everybody I've met, said that somehow there's something vaguely immoral about not starting a book at the beginning. And in fact, the opposite is true. There's too much to read. I want you to go to a bookstore or library. Promise me you'll do this, if you would. In the next week or two, and perhaps this afternoon, grab a book or cast your eyes over books and notice 3 or 4 or 5 of them that you would really like to know what's inside of. But to be perfectly frank, you're probably never going to read. I want you to pull one of those off the shelf and don't start at the beginning. Flip through and find whatever entices you in the middle somewhere, and read for 10 or so minutes, skip around, see if you can absorb as much of the heart, as much of the passion of this book as you can in 10 minutes or 15 minutes, put it back on the shelf and walk away. And if you do that regularly, you can help break another one of those demons that rides around. But what you'll also do is free yourself to have the reading not for us, that mythical second grade teacher, but the reading will be for you. There's too many books to read. Most of the books I read like half of or a third of. Lots and lots of writers repeat themselves or really have one or two really good ideas. And the better, the more you do this, the better you'll be to actually find that idea or part of it or one of them, and then be able to walk away with it and say, you know, and be able to work it into your life. Most books aren't worth reading fully because you'll never get to all the other good ones, and there are so many good ones. It just makes sense to spread ourselves around a little bit more than we do. Does that make sense? Who's willing to do those three assignments, as it were? Find someone else or start a little group. Get the tape and bring it home and play it for a group back home and have them all do it with you. There's tons of people out there that would just be so grateful if you said, you know, I'm gonna share a gift with you. And it was shared with the person I learned it from, who learned it from other people to whom it was shared. It's passing down. It's the liberation of the mind and of the eyes and of the word. And in fact, one of sort of the unspoken fourth assignment is to read good things, is to respect your mind by not putting a whole lot of trash in it. I mean, I read box tops. I've looked at every conceivable kind of novel. I mean, I've read a romance once. So I'm not the best person to give this lesson, but even for myself, I know I gradually realized the kind of common sense notion that garbage in, garbage out, you know, that what I put in my mind, you know, is it's the temple of God, and let's respect it. But the problem for most of us is the other end of that scale. We beat up on ourselves and have all of these, I should read this, I should read that, and we burden ourselves with so much that what most of us need to be encouraged to do is to go with our passion and to spend half of our reading doing absolutely whatever we feel like reading. And that will do more to get you reading the things you feel you ought to read than blaming yourself and getting down on yourself and being nasty to yourself. So there's a responsibility that comes with this skill. When you become a 1,200 word a minute reader, what Kennedy apparently read 1,400 words a minute, John F. Kennedy, you'll accept a responsibility that will give a slight furrow to your brow that is actually quite attractive to other people. They think you're a very deep person when you develop that little notion in your forehead. All right, enough nonsense. wisdom couched as bullshit or whatever it is. Let's do another quick session here. And those of you that need to leave, you've heard everything I have to say, and we're going to keep doing it for a few minutes. So if you want to go to the text study, that's fine. Yeah.
How many hours a week do you spend reading, and what time do you have left in for family?
Not nearly enough. I have a job that absolutely consumes me, and I'm the chair of a couple of coalitions or coordinator, and I work with the Peace and Justice Resource Center, which has grown to be a 20,000 volume library, and book service has 70 volunteers. That's totally volunteer. My regular job is at least 55, 60 hours a week, and it's usually 70 or 80, because I'm just constantly trying to get a newsletter out and calling up people and so forth. My wife just throws her hands up because I'm always coming home at 8 o'clock or whatever. But I sort of squeeze it in work reading, you know, during the day, and I read quickly at night. I mean, when I get home, I try to read it for an hour before I go to bed. But I'll often get in a half hour, you know, around. I always have a book when I go eat supper, and I don't usually take much of a lunch break, so I don't read then. But so it's really bits and pieces, but it just because I have a passion for reading, it adds up to a couple books fully or mostly in a week, and 8 or 10 or 12 or 15 other books that I've read substantial parts of. I'm always working on a project where I have to read things, and that's another thing. What if you can double or triple or quadruple the number of books that you're absorbing parts of? In fact, it'll be more like 8 or 10 times as much as you're now doing. If you take that third exercise seriously, you'll find that you'll more quickly build yourself up in each of your interest areas. You know, theology or novels or certain kinds of poetry or whatever. Your experience with related literature will be to the point where you'll be able to read much faster the next book on a given topic. And you know that's already true. The areas you really know a lot about, you can read and absorb things much quicker. I have a terrible memory. Those of you that have met me this week know that while you're pronouncing the second syllable of your name, I'm already forgetting the first syllable. And yet, I have been astonished sometimes. I just think, is this the same person? I'll have read a new article about the comprehensive test ban or chemical weapons or something, and an hour later or a half a day later, I will rattle off the 7 or 8 statistics and an almost word-for-word quote of some official, because I've already read a lot. I have all the hooks ready to receive the new information. So you will enjoy your reading more as you do this week after week, month after month. Within a few months, you'll notice this, and within a half year, it'll be amazing. And a year or two later, people will be, you know, using all kinds of great words to describe you, like genius and brilliant. My God, where do you find time to read all this stuff? That's what they'll say about you, too.
Do you guarantee your courses?
What?
Do you guarantee your courses?
Money back guarantee.
Money back guarantee. Thank you. I had no answer to that. Thank God, you know. I'm really giving myself out of a limb.
So have you got 3 or 4 books going at the same time?
Oh, 8 or 10.
5 or 15.
Literally. My wife just really doesn't understand why my side of the room has these piles of books that are 3 feet high from the floor. And I'm getting into all of them. I've read little bits of just about every one of them. And I will literally, I reward myself at the end of the day, after I've read what I feel like I ought to read. I have this thing where I literally don't, I have no barriers to what I allow myself. I read whatever I feel like reading. And it's sort of the reward at the end. And yeah.
Do you spend time with your wife?
You know, you can ask her.
I tell them I wish I were a book.
Yes. Others, you know, all I can offer you.
That's great.
All I can offer you is the second best thing, which is a book. Reading with your husband, where you each have a book, is the next best thing to actually hugging your husband.
No, I'm sorry.
Okay, for those people that are listening to this on tape, looking around the room, nobody is buying that little bit of gobbledygook that I just put out. I think I might be wrong on that one. everything else I said has been true.
I want to take him out of his class. Maybe he'll read faster and have more time. Maybe just read more.
Okay, let's try it again.
One question, Glenn.
Yeah.
What about like punctuation and fluctuation dialogue? It seems like I'm just blurt, blurt. You know, I'm not slowing down or anything. Period.
Yeah. It's an exercise. It's not reading. It's really important to know the difference. But this exercise will help you be as in control of that bicycle, to take it at exactly the speed necessary for the potholes, or the scenery, or how fast you need to get somewhere, and all the rest. But right now, I mean, most of us leave college and graduate school never wanting to read a book again. I mean, I can't tell you the number of PhDs that would admit to me they haven't read a book in a year. They got so disgusted with the whole process in graduate school. They just don't want to see another book. It has such negative vibes for them. But most of us aren't that bad. But most of us are really, at the point where the bicycle is going slow enough that it's so wobbly that it doesn't feel fun as much as it should, and that it's not, we're not really in control of it. It's sort of, our slow speed is too much, depriving us of the capacity to make all kinds of choices. Yeah.
All right, in these first couple of weeks that we're practicing this, yeah. Are we, and we're reading faster than usual, are we supposed to be assimilating everything that's
no.
there, or
no.
just sort of the general idea?
You're actually not reading, because if there's a knot at the end of the line and you didn't see it, you're going to have exactly opposite the meaning. This is purely an exercise. It's functional, like the lifting of a dumbbell, but it's only vaguely similar to hitting the tennis ball. You see? But it's important. It's the only way I know to trick your brain out of, and your emotions and your eyes out of the habits. There are other gimmicks, and there are books on speed reading that you can read, and there are classes you can take. Some of them even at the high school, you know, the adult ed kind of things where it's $50 for 8 weeks or something. And you know, whatever will get you there, you'll be glad you did it. I took 3 of the classes, and I took one that I got for free in school, and I finally got it. So pick up a book and read it, and it'll have other hints like how to skim or how to sort of survey before you read, and then afterwards go back and read again. Or some of them will add a fourth step where you ask questions of yourself, what do I want to get out of this? I mean, there are a lot of other little tips at the margins, but for most people, 90% of the struggle is tricking your mind out of the plopping on every word business. And this exercise is not reading, but it's really great to do that, because you can't read, you know, if you're moving straight down the middle of the page, and your eyes might wiggle a little bit, but if you just speed it up, you're just broadening it out and gradually tricking your eye into doing the right thing. And it's just like riding a bicycle. You're gonna have to travel down about, you know, 5,000 pages before you finally have really gotten your brain out of its old habits. But it will be worth it. Every minute you spend doing this, you will, on average, the average person will gain an extra page or so out of increased reading, just even as you go, let alone what's going to happen after you do this for a few weeks and a few months and so forth. So
when we do these exercises, is the goal to read as much as you can, as fast as you can, or just to focus in on one word?
The goal is really varying it, having fun with it, sort of joking with your eye, playing with it, but basically to get your eye to sort of grasp chunks at a time. For some people, just grasping the whole word in just a flash and is where they're at. And that's fine. Each of us is fine right where we're at.
This sub-vocalization business, are you suggesting if we keep this, I figured out I do that.
Mm-hmm.
If we keep this up, we can stop that?
I did. I was terrible. I would be hoarse after reading. That's pretty clear.
So it's just persistently making your eyes take in more than you can speak.
Yeah. Right. And I would even, as you get into it, the more you can use the word letting, that's why I have my hand under the words. I'm not covering them up so I can't see them. I'm inviting my eye to sort of look at the next line more quickly and more quickly. And if it feels like a burden, slow down a little bit. I mean, be really gentle. Be as loving as you deserve, which is a lot more than you get as a rule from anybody else. Be really gentle to yourself. And move faster, move slower. Let's do it one more time. Somebody's glasses case?
Might be Claudio.
fine to start slow. If you do, maybe take a moment now to speed it up. If you look up here, I'll show you sort of where most people are. Sort of like this. That's sort of a nice brisk pace where you won't be tempted to read every word. You'll do more of what the exercise is about, which is to try to entice your eye into seeing more. And if you zone out, that's fine. Just gently zone back in. Double any time, any speed you've ever done. Just zoom down the page. And part of the idea is just to totally dispel any notion that you're reading and just fly away. If you get 3 words per page, that's plenty. Don't criticize yourself. Just turn a page every 2 or 3 seconds, or 5 seconds. Just fly down the page. You're not reading. Nobody's blaming me. I can just do it. I can fly. This is how fast I'm going to read soon. I'm exaggerating. But kid yourself. Just fly down the page.
Keep up with my finger.
That's right. Just turn the pages as fast as you can. 1 or 2 words is plenty. 4 more pages. Just zoom down the page. Let your mind go. You're training yourself not to go back at this step. Keep turning the pages faster.
Good teacher.
What?
And what are we getting out of
it? You're tricking your mind. It's very important. This, I'm not joking about this. It feels ridiculous to those of you that are more stuck or less stuck in this. But what you're doing is you're getting your mind out of squatting on every word. And this is the slow speed is the main exercise. But once in a while, just go like this. Each one of these is a page. And try to get 1 or 2 or 3 words. You're not reading. This isn't playing tennis. This isn't riding a bicycle. This is an exercise. But it's very important because of the way our minds got into a rut.
I remember the very first time I rode a bicycle down First Avenue in Nissa, Oregon, and my dad holding the back of the bike, and I'm starting to get it, and he's calling, "I've got you, I've got you." And I look behind, and of course he doesn't have me anymore, he's way behind. "I've got you, I've got you." And I look forward, and right at the bottom of First Street is Miller's Pond, and I didn't know how to brake, and I just went right. So I find I'm afraid.
That's a good story.
Can I swim?
The last assignment is to listen to yourself as you go and notice those fears. And one great thing about these exercises, as foolish as you might feel, or as different from reading it is, and it's totally different from reading, you're not reading. You're inviting yourself to, when you're going really fast, you're picking up maybe 3 words a page or 2 words, or when you're standing up, not getting a single word off the page. But what you're doing is you're sort of pushing some limits. And at least every week you want to, or every time you do these exercises, you want to do that really, really fast one, just to sort of keep tricking your brain and moving yourself out of the old squat on every word routine. And it also helps make absolutely clear that you're not reading, you're exercising. And it's also sort of fun in a way. I don't know, it sort of satisfies me and makes me smile to do it.
Is this one of the newspapers, the magazines?
Absolutely anything. Newspaper is great because it has narrower columns. Yeah. As you get better at this, mm-hmm. you will find yourself reading an entire line in one glance. Mm-hmm. You will notice it. So the last thing is to listen to yourself. And I want to give you a secret. Many of you who are counselors have learned this. Many of you who have ever been counseled have learned this by the person never doing it. But much of how you can help yourself is to simply listen, but not judge or give any advice. How many of you have learned that when you're counseling someone, there are times where you know exactly what they ought to do, but if you shut your mouth, just listen, just be there with yourself, notice, and don't draw any conclusions from it, just notice it. You will be very helpful to yourself. So notice when that feeling comes up that you're careening down and you're gonna, and then notice afterwards that you're not wet. It's one of the more, one of the safer set of exercises. You're never gonna strain a muscle, probably. You might scare yourself a little bit, but that's okay. Those fears are part of what you're getting rid of to go back and read faster. Then after you fly down the page, go back and do it that slow pace, and you'll find that you're able to do it a little. You've relaxed yourself a little bit by going like this down the page. So then when you go back to the core exercise, which is going just fast enough to take in two or three words at a time rather than one, that's the secret. But so the going, speeding up and pushing yourself will allow you to come back and not go like this on every line, but to really just let your eye grasp more.
Do you ever take notes when you read?
Oh, yes.
Do you do that at the end of a chapter? Or do you?
I usually do it as I go.
Yeah, okay.
But one of the things that I've learned is, because if I do that all the time, I start slowing down.
Right.
So one of my tricks is to read a whole chapter fairly quickly, and then go back and read it a little bit slower and take notes in the margins. And I found that rather than underlining, unless it's really, really important, I try not to underline in the middle, because I end up underlining half the page, and it's not helpful at all. I can't tell you the number of used books I find in the bookstore, usually textbooks, where someone has used a green or yellow highlighter and highlighted more than half the words in the book. What value is that? I mean, you want to highlight the words, you know, or I'll put a circle around a name or a concept in the middle of the page to just help me get back to it. But what I do, my standard system is putting one line against something that's noteworthy, two lines if I want to remember it, three lines if I'm going to use it in the next week or so. Just down by the paragraph. It's a lot faster, it doesn't slow me down as much, and it does the purpose of bringing me back so I can find that juicy part again quickly, but it doesn't get in my speed reading, you know, path. Then I have a whole bunch of symbols. If there's a contrast between two points of view, I have a little kind of V shape pointing to the two parts, and I'll put it further away if they're further apart or wider or closer, you know. Maybe I'll underline one word of each of the two concepts. So there's a variety of ways. I have a whole set of symbols.
Do you have a key? I use a key for when
okay.
It's the kind of
the mathematical symbol for not is a little wiggle, or an exclamation mark if they said something that's really like really weird or really astonishing and I want to notice it again. Yeah.
Put quotes if it's something you...
Number. If someone says first, second, and third, I'll just put a quick number in the margin to help me get the structure. I mark up mainly for the structure after that one line, two line, three line, and circling a word or underlining a single word here and there. But if you get too much into writing, it really does slow you down. So okay. Shorter the better.
How do you comprehend a word if you don't say it in your mind? I can't do that. Whenever I see it's a word, I can understand it if I say it in my mind.
All I can offer you is this promise, that your mind is capable of grasping phrases at a time, like of the Constitution. You know, Constitution is a big word, but your mind is capable of grasping the whole phrase in a single flash as you practice, as you do the exercise to practice it. It won't happen any quicker than you went from the wobbly bicycle to the no-handed part.
How often and how long do we do the exercise?
I don't do it for more than 5 minutes.
A day?
At a time. Usually it's more like 2 minutes or 3 minutes. I'll do one. I often start with the real quick one because I have a particularly nasty demon, it feels like that. And so if I do something that's really outrageous right off the bat, it kind of gets the ball rolling in the right direction. Then I'll slow back to where I feel like I'm just pushing myself a little bit to get to broaden it. And then I'll speed up a little bit, I'll slow down a little bit, be real gentle with myself. And I'll go through a quarter of the book before I start. and then I read for a while, and if I'm sitting for a long session, I'll do the whole thing again for a couple minutes in the middle, or, and if I found my, if I haven't done it for a while, I'll do it every 10 minutes, you know, I'll notice that I'm poking along, and I'll just go like this, you know, for like a minute at a time, and then go back to reading, just back and forth, back and forth.
When you're actually reading, you don't use your hand on the page.
Right. Because I am still at the point where I mean, and most of you will be, I would imagine, where I need to go like this. It might help to do that, to, as an interim step, go like this. And again, do it as an exercise at first. Like that, and then it slow it down a little bit. See if you can find just the point where your hand is sort of enticing your eye to do what is your goal, which is to, you know, write with one hand.
The other question has to do with vocabulary. Some writers are much more dense than others, use difficult words that you're unfamiliar with.
Right.
And sometimes they're critical to the meeting.
Right.
So that can bog me down.
Right.
I often wind up with a sheet of paper with all this vocabulary.
Right.
You know, but how do you handle that?
Two suggestions. Great questions. The first is that the way we learn new words, and we have all our life, the way you learn the 40 or 50,000 words that you know already, mm-hmm. is mostly by hearing them and by the context, getting a sense of them, hearing them again, another context, get a little more of a sense of them. Why not keep doing that? You know, unless you really need to, you know, run to the dictionary, which I do a couple times a day, and look up something. By and large, try to just get it from the context and just keep going. The second thing is another trick that I've used to sort of keep myself at this. I'll stop and think of those, or I'll look at the, my wife is constantly telling me when we're together, she says, you're looking at books again, you know. I love books. I'll just sort of look at titles and remember good experiences I've had with them. Look at books and all the books you haven't read. I mean, so what if you miss a sentence or a concept? I mean, with the old 250 word a minute pace, look at all the books you're missing anyway. Who cares if you miss a paragraph or you got a thought backwards because you went a little too fast in that section? I mean, give yourself a break and be gentle on yourself. I mean, the way I used to read and the way I fall into periodically, I mean, I go back to the as slow as I ever did periodically, and so will you. At that speed, I won't finish the book. Now, which is better, to have missed a few sentences every third or fourth page, or not gotten a sentence at all because I didn't know what a word meant, or to only get a quarter of the book read? I'd rather read the whole book and then maybe go back and fill in the pieces, or go on with life. When I get to St. Peter, he's not going to say, I know you missed some words. We're not letting you in here.
I'm not letting you until you finish Ulysses by James Joyce. I've started that book three or four times.
I'll tell you what, go back to number three. Next time you pick up Joyce, read the last chapter. The Molly Bloom monologue is one of the great pieces of literature. It is so much fun, and it shows that he actually listened to his wife, probably, you know, Caitlin. And then put it down and say you read it. I mean, you got to the end, didn't you? You know that old expression? Liz, you know, your buddy is trying to get you to do something that is potentially dangerous and nasty, and then you say to him, let's not do it and say we did it.
Sometimes I find an author, not often, but sometimes that I just savor the way they say things.
Right.
The adjectives are just so
right.
I just sit there and smile at every phrase. Is that all right?
Precisely. Exactly. That's the goal of it all. To have each. There are moments when you ride a bicycle where it is so lovely, the breeze on your face is so good, you're going to slow down to the pace where you don't have to pay more than the most minimal attention to the mechanics of writing and not crashing into something, so that you can just Even lift your arms out and close your eyes and feel the sun on your face while you're riding a bicycle. That's one of the things that it's, you know, lies await for you. That's the idea, to be able to read at whatever pace.
I'll still be reading fast, I won't go slowly.
No, you choose to read slow then.
Okay.
It's like that poet who says, someone said, you know, have you heard about this new thing, speed reading? And he said, you know, that's interesting because I've got a campaign going for myself to read slower. And he sort of jiu-jitsu'd the person that was kind of moving along. I mean, there's a danger at the other end of the spectrum that I'm wrestling with, and that is to not get as acquisitive with words and ideas and books as some people are with money and power and experiences, you know, like these suburban kids that I described in one of the sessions who I pity them, you know. By observing their parents and living around their parents who have every gadget in their house and the new car every year and they're always thinking of what else to buy. They believe ads, you know, and so forth. These kids have learned to stay after school and do a sport and be in the play and have a good part and not feel good about themselves unless they got a good part, and then come home and do this activity and that activity and another activity and fill their Saturdays and Sundays with things, and they squeeze the life out of their life. And in the same way that some of the poor kids that I've worked with are poverty stricken by not enough books around and not enough experiences, they are poverty stricken by having the experiences just crowd their life out of their own life. And so there's dangers at every side, and the way to really steer past them is to travel lightly and to be gentle and to listen and not judge half as much as we do, but you know, just nudge ourselves one direction or another as we go through.
Is somebody working on, or has someone worked on, a way to teach children to read so that they don't have to later overcome these barriers? Because sub-vocalization business, I mean, does that come from all the reading aloud? I read aloud to my children every night.
I'm at the edges of my knowledge here. There are people that know much more about this than I do. But I do know that, for example, schools that bring in volunteers where there's a grandmother or a housewife or someone that wants to give a great gift to a child, and sits with the child in their lap in the early ages and reads to them and shares their joy with the words and watches the child and tries to make the experience match the pace and the interest and so forth of the child. And then gradually just sit with the person and help them. I know one story about a grandmother whose child was falling back in school. And I've had some problems in schools along the way, so I have tears in my eyes when I think of this story. The parents had tried everything, hiring people, tutors, and so forth. And this grandmother finally decided she was going to take it upon herself to help this child. And what she did was she sat down next to the child while he did his homework with her arm around the child, and just rubbed his back and patted his head. And was close, hardly said a word, knew nothing about algebra or whatever it was that was being studied, but just was present. And that physical touch was more of what was needed than all of the rest of the tricks and gimmicks and anxieties that were being imposed on this child.
And then that child grew up and thought that marital intimacy was reading with...